And welcome to Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. The stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the headlines from around the world are as follows. Ancient artifacts are unearthed in Florida, and the Rollright stones in Oxfordshire are vandalised again. The discovery of a dwarf gene may explain the Hobbit species, and was it poor sewing and stitching skills that brought the end to the Neanderthals? France is also racing to save the Lascaux cave paintings. Kirsty McWee is part of the University of West Florida archaeology team surveying 168 acres of the Falling Waters State Park in Chipley in Florida, USA. During the past few weeks, the team has been shovel-pitting extensively in the park in search of Native American artifacts. Fieldwork has been extended because of numerous results. Artifacts unearthed from the site include ceramics and arrowheads and range from 1,000 to 1,500 years old. The findings of the survey will be used to learn more about the area's previous inhabitants, and that information will then be used to create interpretive displays in the park. Well off the beaten trail, requiring a climb and a crawl and a squeeze, are also some amorphous smears of red ochre. And if they are cave paintings, it will be an amazing find, as no other paintings have ever been found in Florida. The UWF team went to investigate them but were unable to draw any concrete conclusions, and samples are now being studied. Following the recent fire damage at the Rollright stones in Oxfordshire, a further attack has occurred. The King's Man standing stone has been previously burnt by a tire attack, and now it's been significantly chipped on the top. The King's Stone sign was previously cracked and has now been broken off completely, and the Warden's Hut has also been attacked again. Cavity wall foam was sprayed into the collection box and also into the locks. This subsequently solidified, breaking the locks and also rendering the collection box unusable. The damage continues a sad tale of vandalism at the stones over the last few years. In 2005, yellow paint was spread over every stone in the circle. In 2006, the Warden's Hut was burnt to the ground in an arson attack, and this was subsequently replaced by a porter cabin. In 2007, a tower was placed over the King's Stone and burnt, and now the stones again have been chipped, the signage damaged further, and the porter cabin damaged once again in another arson attack. Heritage vandalism at its worst. If you know anything about this, please, please get in touch with the Oxfordshire Police, who are investigating this. In a discovery which could help boost understanding of a rare type of dwarfism, researchers announced that they have found a genetic culprit for the condition. But in addition to increasing knowledge of this condition, the researchers' conclusions could also fuel the continuing debate over the origins of the mysterious group of hobbits that walked the earth tens of thousands of years ago. In the study released in the journal Science, an international team of researchers examined a number of individuals with a condition known as microcephalic osteodysplastic primordial dwarfism type 2, or, and thank goodness for me, MOPD2. What was found was a key mutation in chromosome 21 likely led to the condition, a finding that represents a first-of-its-kind genetic explanation for this type of dwarfism. But as interesting as the findings are to geneticists, the researchers' conclusions at the end of the article could have even bigger implications for the Hobbit remains, whose discovery was announced in 2004. On one side of the debate are those who believe that the diminutive hominids that inhabited Flores Island about 95,000 years to 12,000 years ago represent an entirely new species of human. On the other side are those that contend that a genetic abnormality, perhaps like the one revealed by the new study, is responsible, which would mean that the hobbits would simply be the product of a genetic quirk that affected previously recognised species of humans of the period. In short, if the hobbits were found to be merely the product of a genetic mutation, they would not be accorded the status of a species. With the identification of the genetic basis of MOPD2, this hypothesis may soon be testable. Neanderthals probably froze to death in the last ice age because rapid climate change caught them by surprise without the tools needed to make warm clothes. Ian Gilligan, a postgraduate researcher from the Australian National University, argues this in the current issue of the journal World Archaeology. By the time some Neanderthals developed sewing kits, it was too little too late. Previous studies have argued that one of the key reasons for this is that modern humans had better hunting tools, providing them with the extra food they needed to survive the cold temperatures. But Gilligan disagrees that the development of hunting tools was so important to modern human survival over the Neanderthals. For a start, he argues, Neanderthals were already successful hunters, surviving in Europe and Eurasia for over 100,000 years. Most of the tools supposed to have given modern humans the edge over Neanderthals were actually more useful for making warm clothes. The important tools developed by modern humans included stone blades, bone points, and eventually needles, which could cut and pierce hides to sew them together into multi-layered clothes. They're not, in fact, related to hunting. They're related to clothing. Neanderthals were unable to adapt clothing in response to rapid climate change, and while there is evidence that some Neanderthals in France started to develop sewing tools, this would not have been enough to save the species. The French government is taking emergency action to rescue the celebrated cave paintings of the Lascaux Caverns from a fungus. Archaeological experts have begun applying a fungicide to halt the spread of grey and black mould in the caverns, dubbed the Sistine Chapel of Prehistory. The caves, discovered in 1940 by teenagers walking a dog, contain images of bulls, deers and horses believed to be 15 to 17,000 years old. The fungus, which grows because of moist conditions, is threatening some of the 600 drawings in yellow, black and red mineral pigments that cover the caves. Paul Bann, Britain's former specialist in Ice Age art, said that water could be seen running down the paintings, while black spots, some as large as a hand, were spreading across the walls and some of the paintings. He said that the cave had no means of circulating its natural currents of air, and that, as biologists had yet to identify the exact nature of the spots, they were unable to prescribe a proper treatment. A team of specialists who assessed the cave before Christmas recommended stopping all activity in the caverns and taking action to stop the fungus. The International Committee for the Preservation of Lascaux are accusing French officials of closing ranks. According to their statements, the cave is now recovering and the crisis is over. This, however, according to the ICPL, could not be further from the truth. Lascaux and its paintings are suffering from an ineptitude and lack of response of those charged with the care of the cave. It's suffering, they say, from a maze of bureaucracy. It's like a plane without a pilot. The French Cultural Ministry declined to make any comment. One of the projects that's halted by the emergency treatment is a survey that was to make a three-dimensional digital record of every painting in the cavern. Let's hope that we can keep up with this story during 2008 and actually provide some good news. Well, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library, bookstore and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. You can learn more about Badger and Past Horizons, which provides you information about international archaeological opportunities, by typing either Past Horizons or Badger Blog into Google. And remember, more can always be found at the fabulous Stone Pages website, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll come back to us again next week.